Big Brass Bells! Big Brass Bells for sale! Big Brass Bells! Big Brass Bells! Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling! Big Brass Bells! Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo!
You have Big Brass Bells for sale?
Yoo-hoo! Big Brass Bells!
Big Brass Bells!
Big Brass Bells! Bells for sale! Yoo-hoo!
So you do have Big Brass Bells for sale?
That's what I said! Big Brass Bells!
Can I have one?
Big Brass Bells!
Can I purchase one, please?
Big Brass Bells! Big Brass Bells!
Big Brass Bells!
Don't, I can't. I'm confused. Can I buy one or not?
Big Brass Bells!
Motherfucker!
Big Brass
Thank you. Give it one. Give me one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yoo-hoo.
Hello and welcome. My name is Dustin Chambers, and this is another edition of my podcast called Cutting Comedy Down to the Bone and Breaking It Apart and Eating the Marrow and Sucking It Up and so here we go. You just heard that sketch by Donnie Greco. It's called Big Brass Bells, I believe. And you're probably a little confused by that one. It's pretty high concept. I heard through the back alleys that he tried 57 different voices, and 15 different types of metal before settling in on the perfect one there on it also various adjectives of size to describe the bells, and not just size but various qualities that a bell might contain. I heard tiny silver bell, obviously not very funny. So I also heard gigantic pillow bell. That's just obviously that's some absurdist humor, there's obviously we're all comedic, you might say comedy nerds here. We understand that there's absurd humor. There's a range there, and then there's just dumb, where it's still absurd, but it's beyond the silliness of, hey, this doesn't make sense. So a pillow bell, how the fuck would that even work? A pillow bell, you can't even. Anyway, so I heard many, as you might imagine, a wide range of combinations were used, and eventually he honed in on Big Brass and Bell, which clearly there's some alliteration, and if you want me to get more specific, obviously that's some consonants. I'll say that again one more time. Consonants, which they all just kind of build that, they add together to create an image of this gigantic bell that this matron is selling. Let's imagine the manner in which she's yelling this. It's possibly on a street corner. The artist has left us to decide exactly what's happening there. As I've dissected this and gone back through it time after time, that's what I come back to. Probably some kind of outdoor market, possibly in Little Italy or Little Switzerland, in Columbus, or somewhere in outside of Santa Fe. That's just my personal opinion. That's pure speculation, but that is based on thousands of hours of listening and dissecting and critiquing comedy in a professional capacity. Okay, so what's going on here? There's a woman clearly selling bells that are big and made of brass. That's very clear. There's also introduced later a male character who is attempting to procure one of these bells. And the central humor, as I see it in this piece, is that this woman, this saleswoman, is so incredibly enthusiastic about selling these bells, given her volume, given the repetition of the wares that she is selling over and over. She is so enthusiastic, yet ignores this man who in fact wishes to purchase these bells. So there's a juxtaposition of desires there. There is some irony in the situation, where if perhaps this woman was just a little bit less enthusiastic about selling these bells, she would in fact be able to sell a bell. Now, we could say that taking a sociological look at this sketch, we could say perhaps this woman represents runaway American capitalism, and that her enthusiasm, perhaps she represents America, Liberty Bell, something like that. Perhaps her enthusiasm for selling this product, leading to her being unable to sell that product, could be interpreted as American capitalism being so over-enthusiastic in being so over-enthusiastic and attempting to create capital and work within markets and whatnot, that they are in fact not serving those that they need to be able to serve in order to maintain a healthy capitalist society. Now, that is, I believe, strongly hinted at in this piece, but obviously you only get the hints of it. But in my, professional capacity of being a critiquer of these pieces for years, in professional capacity, that's my professional opinion. Now, I want to bring your attention to what I believe is a very interesting part of this piece. Just about 10 seconds in, we have a pause, complete silence for just about three and a half seconds. Now, that's really, really pretty innovative. That's kind of unheard of in a sketch of this size. It's a little over 2 minutes and 10 seconds. To have a 3 second gap there in the middle, you'd really, that's a ballsy move. I'm gonna say that right now, because you really risk losing all any kind of humorous momentum you had going there. It's at the very beginning, where maybe somebody's listening to this while they're doing the dishes, doing their laundry, they're driving, there was some kind of noise. You don't really know if anyone's paying attention yet or not. And to have a pause like that in this moment, you risk just ruining. People might wonder, is the sketch over? Is it done? What is this? Is my phone malfunctioning? But it's actually quite a magical moment, because this woman selling her wares, she yells out Then there's a pause, and obviously it builds in anticipation of what's going to happen next. We're not sure. Maybe something, new character is going to be introduced. But no, it's actually just that same woman at an even louder volume continuing to sell her bells that are large and made of brass, which is it's an inversion of expectation, may I say, because we've been listening to this woman selling her wares very loudly, very enthusiastically. Then there's a pause, and the most likely scenario here is that something different's going to happen. And if you're a seasoned comedy enthusiast, if you listen to these pieces as I have, for as long as I have, in a professional capacity, you find yourself expecting certain things where maybe the layperson would not. They'd be along for the ride, but I find myself expecting certain things. I found myself expecting perhaps a different voice, perhaps a new character that would fit the pattern of normal comedy. Whereas here, there's this massive pause, which is in itself almost completely without precedent. And so that, obviously, I'm intrigued at that point. And then to have the exact same voice come back in, it's just like, oh, fuck me where it feels good. You know, that it's just, I wanted to call your attention to that moment. So now I want to bring attention to the overall structure of this piece, where this woman is just completely ignoring her her willing customer here. And he's becoming increasingly frustrated, climaxing in use of the word fuck. The woman selling her wares, she also becomes increasingly enthusiastic in her vocalizations of trying to sell these large bells that are made of brass. And this comes to a head at about the 1 minute and 31 mark, where she really just kind of goes all out and is just hitting those high notes. And you may have missed it, but somewhere in there, I believe she sneaks in a yoo-hoo. That's a reference to the yoo-hoos she was saying earlier. Call back there. After this pattern of this woman ignoring her customer has been established, this pattern is then subverted after the climax, where she does indeed acknowledge this customer, and the bell is exchanged. Now, if we were to look at this again from a class standpoint, from a economic theory, as a metaphor for that, then perhaps it could be seen as a possible readjustment of a capitalist society where the merchants, the capitalists, are seen to understand they are not serving their customers, and they adjust their practices accordingly. Thank you. So, once again, my name's Dustin Chambers, and this has been another episode of my podcast, cutting comedy down to the bone and breaking it apart and eating the marrow and sucking it up. And yeah.